Sometimes what we consider a curse is really a blessing. You know, what we come against and we really want to run away from is the very thing we need to embrace. You know, and we can understand this by considering an athlete. You know, how does an athlete grow stronger? How does he become or she become, you know, those great athletes that we watch on the Olympics and, you know, ones who can run faster than anyone, who can jump farther, who can lift more weights? Well, they face something that's strong, that's very strong, that they have to overcome. You know, that's obstacles in whatever form it might be. You know, especially for athletes, you know, they lift weights that are heavier, that we would look at and say, man, I don't even want to try and lift that. I'll throw my back out. You know, but they face these obstacles. They're opposing forces. And because they face them, they accept the challenge, it causes them to grow stronger. And it's an opposing force. You could say it's the law of an opposing force, that in order for us to grow stronger, we have to have opposition. We have to have something that's facing us that causes us to strain and to make effort and to burn calories and to cause muscle fibers to. You know, I think I heard in a documentary that when you're building muscle, you're actually snapping little muscle fibers and it regrows stronger. You know, that you're expending this energy and this work in you, and it's very difficult and hard, and you know, takes a lot of sweat and so forth, but it causes us to grow. And it's the same thing in the Christian life. You know, we grow stronger by facing things that cause us to cry out to God. And as we meet with Him and, you know, we overcome and we seek Him in His Word, we exercise our faith in prayer, we grow in strength. And I think if we're honest, we'd realize, well, I probably wouldn't do those things if God didn't make me, right? If God didn't set things in my path that I was kind of forced to cry out to Him for, you know, I wouldn't do it as much. But yet, God does that because there's a necessity for us to face that opposition and to fight the battle, to fight the good fight, as Paul said to Timothy, to war a good warfare. And, you know, I think our need for facing opposition is kind of seen in the caterpillar that turns into the butterfly. And I think we all know how the caterpillar forms the cocoon, and a transformation takes place in that. And then at the end of the process, it starts to break open, and I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's a big struggle for them to get out of there. You know, they're just struggling with all their might to break through the cocoon, the chrysalis, and get their wings out and kind of crawl out there and stretch their wings out. It's a lot of effort. But, you know, they found that if you help the butterfly get out of the cocoon, it actually is detrimental. Actually, they'll die. Because what causes blood to flow to their wings is the effort of getting out of the cocoon. If you break it open and help them get out, they won't be able to fly and they'll die. But because they have to do that, you know, work at that and that effort, they're transformed and they gain strength. And, you know, the Lord sometimes places obstacles in our pathway because we're little butterflies that we need to exercise and get the strength to our wings so that we can fly and rise above the situation. And so, you know, I've entitled this message, The Benefit of Obstacles. You know, we don't like them, but they're beneficial. And I think the Lord wants us to transform our thinking and our thought process so that, you know, we don't have to like them, but we need to recognize what they are so that we know how to respond to them. And the first obstacle I want to just address here is the obstacle of the enemy. And I think we recognize that we face an enemy, and that enemy is ferocious. You know, he's the roaring lion going about to try and devour us, but yet he can't do anything more than the Lord allows him, or we allow him. You know, so But yet we have the enemy that we have to face, and sometimes he's a big obstacle in front of us. But Jesus obtained the keys of hell and death. So he won, right? So the enemy is, he was defeated at the cross, but yet he's still around. You know, why is he still around? And he's still called the prince of this world. It's because the Lord is letting him stay around. You could say that God still has a purpose. He's just a tool. He's a wrench in the hand of the Lord to tighten us up, to make us stronger. And I think the biggest example we can think about this is Job. Job, you know, God said of Job that he was a perfect man in his generation. So in his generation, there was no one better than Job. He was, you know, God looked upon the earth and just saw the whole generation and said, oh, here is the shining example. He's the man to follow in this generation. But yet he allowed Satan to have a certain liberty in his life. You know, God allowed Satan to touch him in many areas, more than we could ever imagine. If that happened in our lives, boy, I don't know if we could handle it, but the Lord knew Job could handle it. But yet God was doing something. You know, he was using the enemy to make Job more perfect, more upright, more righteous. And so he used Satan to get Job's attention and basically saying, Job, there's a further work I want to do. There's an area I want to make you stronger in. And, you know, when Job finally saw the need, it took a while. You know, you kind of read between the lines, and I think it took several months of going through that. And sometimes we have to go through a long season because we don't realize what's going on. But Job finally saw his need for change, and he said, I repent. Lord, I repent in dust and ashes. He finally saw that he needed to change, and he acknowledged it. And God moved, you know, but it was only for a season. It was for a set duration. And, you know, God doesn't want us to face opposition all the time. But he takes us through seasons because his ultimate goal is to bring us into rest, to bring us into victory. The enemy is not allowed to work forever. And that could be an encouragement for us. And it says in Proverbs 16 and verse 7, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I think you can look at this, you know, when a man's ways please the Lord, when they come through that fire like gold, like Job did, and their work is done, even his enemies are made to be at peace. They can't touch him. And so we have the, you know, that obstacle of the enemy that we face. But yet it's totally for the purposes of God in our lives. And, you know, sometimes we don't, you know, we know there's an enemy, but he's invisible. But yet sometimes, you know, our enemy is physical in the form of other people. You know, sometimes we face other people that want to oppose us in whatever way. You know, you think of the time of restoration in Israel with Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah. And they were commissioned by God to build up the walls of Jerusalem. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to build up the walls of salvation in our lives and in the lives of other people. And, you know, protect the garden of our heart and from the little foxes and so forth. But, you know, when we do that and the enemy sees where he can't get in to our lives or he's being blocked, well, then he starts to attack. You know, and so the people came in Nehemiah's day and Ezra's day, and they harassed them and tried to cause trouble. And, you know, the enemy likes to do that through others sometimes. But let's just read in Nehemiah 4, verses 16 through 18, and just see what happened back then and what the result of that was. Nehemiah 4, verses 16 through 18. And, you know, they're facing this. They realize there's enemies. They're out to get them. They're threatening to come and you know, come upon them as they're building the wall. And so it says, and it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants built the wall, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the mail. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, and they which built the wall, and they that bear the burdens, and those that carried that were laden, every one with his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had their swords upon their sides, and they built that way. You know, and so the presence of the enemy caused them to build in a way that they were always ready. They were ready to fight the enemy. They were ready to face the challenges. They didn't let down their guard. You know, they were ready for the attacks of the enemy. And sometimes it's easy to let down our guard, you know, and let things in. And so God brings situations that causes us to learn to be always ready. You know, like Paul said to us, you know, that we should be always ready to give an answer to those that ask us why we have this hope. You know, that sometimes God will bring situations that force us to prepare and ready ourselves. And so they faced, you know, Nehemiah, they faced the obstacle, but it caused them to be ready. And sometimes God will bring someone who, maybe they challenge us in some way. You know, Brother Sandpaper comes to rub us the wrong way, and they're challenging our reactions, or they're challenging us, or maybe someone challenges our faith, you know, entirely. And we have to come up with a good answer for it. But God wants us, you know, that when we face these things, that we respond to the challenge, because it causes us to take our sword and sharpen it. You know, sometimes our sword can get rusty if we don't use it. You know, we can read it, but we also have to be prepared to use it and reply or have a right response in a situation. That God will bring people that will cause us to prepare. And that's part of being a good soldier for Jesus Christ and warring a good warfare. And then there's the obstacle of the word. The obstacle of the word. You know, sometimes we can have the obstacle of the enemy, right? But then there's the word itself. Because Christ called himself the rock of offense. Because Israel, they wanted to come to God in their own way. You know, and there's something in our nature that we were born with and we were inherited with, that God says, come to me this way, or God says, hey, I want to do this. And we say, well, hey, how about let's do this other thing, because that's a lot easier for me, and I won't have to give up that other thing that I want. But God, you know, he wants us, as it says in Isaiah, he says, this is the way, walk ye in it. That's Isaiah 30. You know, that God has an appointed way for us. And he speaks his word to us. And, you know, sometimes that word is hard. It's challenging. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 33. Romans 9 and verse 33. You know, this is another reference to Christ as the rock. His word is the rock. And it says, behold, it is written, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. You know, and so there's this concept. The word can either cause us to step up higher. You know, we can use the word to step up higher in our walk with God. Or it can trip us up so that we, you know, stumble in the way that we're going. And really, that is Christ. He's the stumbling stone, the rock of offense. But he's that to those who struggle with doing what God says. But for those, you know, of us who desire to go on in God, he's the stepping stone, I think you could say, that allows us to go up higher. You know, we can follow God, we can hunger and thirst for righteousness, but when he calls us and he gives us his word and he says, this is the way, walk you in it, sometimes there's a real cost involved. And it is challenging. Believe me, it is challenging. But whatever stage in life we're at in the Christian walk, sometimes obeying the word of God is challenging. And there's costs involved. You know, the Lord said in Luke chapter 20 and verse 18. Luke 20 and verse 18, it says, whoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now that's an interesting verse. And really, it has to do with our response to the Word of God, to that stone of that rock of offense, that stumbling stone, as he said to Israel. But really, it's the response to his word. There's only two ways that we can respond. And the first one is whoever shall fall upon that stone and be broken. And, you know, as the word of God comes, and really he's trying to deal with a hard place in us, and he speaks to us, you know, if we yield to the Lord, we yield to his word, and we fall down upon him. And as we yield to that, there's something happens in our heart. There's a breaking that takes place. That hardness is removed. That thing that was going to keep us from going on in the pathway is removed. We fall on that stone and we're broken. And sometimes that's just what has to take place. You know, we say, Lord, I don't understand why you're asking this. I'm struggling to do this, but Lord, I'm just going to fall upon you, upon your mercy. And as we do that, something's broken in us and we can go on and we can get the victory. But then, you know, there's the second option. There's the second result or response. It says, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. You know, if we resist the word and resist yielding to God and we keep going on, you know, there's that other option is the word comes upon us and we're not just broken, but we're ground into powder. There's nothing left. And, you know, we've known people who they come to the Lord and they've been so on fire, so hungry for God that they stir something up in you. It's like, oh man, I need to get that fire back. You know, I need to be on fire like they are. And they get into the word and, you know, Lord's speaking to them. But then there comes a point in their walk that God starts to come as the stumbling stone. And, you know, maybe he speaks something difficult to them. And, you know, there was one person that was new in the Lord and they were so on fire for God, but then the Lord started to speak about the area of worship and saying, I want you to give up the old music of the world you were listening to. And they started giving it up, this and that, but then there was this one music or a CD or something that they could not give up. And they were warned and so forth, but they just could not give that up. And the end result was they got offended. And they left the church, and as far as I know, they don't even go to church anymore because of one little CD. And, you know, if they had yielded that, if they just broken that CD, it would have been falling upon the rock, and something would have been broken in their lives, and they could have gone on with God, but because they didn't, the rock fell upon them, and, you know, they couldn't walk in the way anymore. And so, you know, we have to come to the rock and allow that breaking to take place, because that's where the transformation happens. But, you know, in reality, we're broken either way, aren't we? We're broken either way. And so we have to come to that place and say, well, my desires, my way, my will, it's going to be broken no matter what. And so it's so much better to come to the rock and just kind of fall upon him. You know, kind of like you see in those business meetings, you know, people get together and they do a trust fall. Right? They fall backwards. I think we did that at some camps, right? You fall backwards and you're just trusting people are going to catch you. But, you know, our trust fall has to, you know, we're the Lord. Lord, I'm just going to fall upon your word and it's going to break me. So there's going to be some breaking happening, but I'm trusting that it's going to be for good and that you're going to work in this. You know, that's how we have to come to those obstacles of the word and just trust and yield in the Lord, because that's what will cause us to grow. Then there's one more obstacle I just want to consider with you, and that's the obstacle of time. The obstacle of time. You know, for a marathon runner, you need endurance and so forth, but one of the major things that makes that race so hard is how long it takes to finish it. You're running a long time. It's not a sprint. And sometimes God takes us through situations that are a long time and we have to endure. And and God wants us to develop endurance. And you think about Joseph. You know, God was choosing Joseph to make him the second ruler in the land. And so he took him through Potiphar's house. He triumphed. He became the second ruler in Potiphar's house. Right? Potiphar is number one. Joseph was number two. And then, you know, there's that issue with his wife, you know, Potiphar's wife, and he had to go to prison. And then he was faithful in prison. And he became the second ruler in the prison. And he got the victory twice. And, you know, he won the trust of the jailer. And then you think that that would have qualified him to reign. Right? He had gotten the victory, the double portion, you could say. And then the butler and the baker of Pharaoh come, and that's his opportunity. He says, oh, remember me when you go before Pharaoh and you see that my interpretation of your dream was right. I mean, he could have gone to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, this guy had he told me exactly what would have happened. And Pharaoh might have said, oh, he would be handy to have around. But that didn't happen. And so for 2 years, Joseph continued in the prison, waiting, just waiting upon the Lord. You know, the obstacle of time. Sometimes that can be the most challenging thing. We can have everything right. We can have endurance, or we can have strength. We can overcome. You know, we can know how to pray, how to meet the Lord. But if we don't know how to deal with time, that can cause us a lot of problems. Because time, sometimes that's the hardest thing to get through, is an extended period of time where we're going through and you know, suffering or experience difficulty. But there's something about waiting upon the Lord that does something in us. And you know, that precious verse in Isaiah, those who wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength. The Lord doesn't exactly say there how long they wait. Sometimes that waiting goes on for a long time. Sometimes even longer than we would even imagine. But as we wait, it develops something in us. It develops an endurance. And Jesus said, those who endure to the end, they will be saved. And that salvation, I think, goes more than just beyond being delivered, but be raised up to sit with Him. So we have to endure for a season because we know it's doing something in us. In Romans 5 and verse 3, it says, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience. You know, difficulty, Romans 5, 3. Difficulty is working something in us. Difficulty for a long time is working in us. That as we submit to it, He's developing patience to bring us that expected end so that we can endure to the end. There's an old French proverb that says this. It says, patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. You know, it's bitter waiting and enduring, you know, for a long time, the things that we want to see done or having to go through hardship. But the fruit of waiting upon the Lord, being patient, is very sweet. And so as Joseph waited upon the Lord, he came into a very sweet position, you could say. All the pain was forgotten, the past was forgotten. He made all things new. And that's the promise to those who wait on the Lord. They inherit everything. Nothing is withheld from those who wait. As it says in Psalm 37, those who wait upon the Lord, they inherit the earth. But, you know, there comes a time when time itself, that obstacle of time, is removed. You know, we talked about Zerubbabel. And there's a verse in Zechariah 4 and verse 7. You know, Zerubbabel was facing those enemies. In Zechariah 4, 7, it says, who art thou, a great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. You know, there came a time when God removed the obstacles facing Israel in rebuilding the city. You know, that there was a mountain here, and that can refer to something, to an obstacle, something that's standing before us that's impossible for us to remove. But yet, as we wait upon the Lord, God can start to do something. And, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 21, in verse 21, He said, truly I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not do only this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if you'll say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. You know, there comes a time, if we wait upon the Lord, when the season comes to a completion, and He can speak a word of faith, you know, that we can speak. God can put faith in our hearts, and we can speak to that situation, and that mountain is removed. And you know, I remember a story shared by a pastor who, he lived in a big house, and he had a house that was being sold. It was for sale. And lo and behold, a fraternity bought that house next to him. And so you can imagine what it was like living next to a fraternity. Parties and loud music and so forth. I don't know if it was next door, but it was nearby, and it was very unpleasant. And it provoked something in his spirit. And, you know, he just prayed and was asking the Lord, and he felt stirred up that every time he drove by that house, he said, "Be thou removed." I don't know how long that went on, but there came a day when he drove by that and he was going to say, "Be thou removed," but they were gone. You know, God had removed them. And I don't know what happened, but they were moved on. But, you know, there's power in waiting upon the Lord until He gives us that word of faith to overcome. And then we can face that situation and we can declare, "Be thou removed. You mountain, be cast into the sea," as we learn to wait upon the Lord. And so, you know, we talk about these obstacles because, you know, we need a change of mind. And I've faced obstacles that I've just wanted to get out of the way, get around, get out, you know, of this situation. But yet God wants to show us the benefit of obstacles, that sometimes God brings them for a blessing. And if we can learn to respond in the right way, you know, to respond to the obstacle of the enemy, to learn to fight, God brings the enemy so that we learn to fight. Or the obstacle of the word, that we can learn to respond to His word and yield and fall upon the rock and be broken, that's how we can be made whole. Or the obstacle of time, that we learn to wait upon the Lord so that we can renew our strength and rise up with wings as eagles. And that's how the Lord wants to meet with us, to make us victorious, to make us more than conquerors. You know, we can conquer a situation, but to become more than conquerors, we need to learn to fight and to face obstacles in our lives. And Father, we just pray in Your name, Lord, that You would strengthen us and that You would, Lord, even teach us, Lord, as You taught David. Lord, You taught his fingers to fight and his hands to war. And Lord, we just pray that You would even teach us and strengthen us, Lord, to face the obstacles in our lives. Lord, even that we would realize and acknowledge that these are doing something, that You're making us stronger, Lord, as we exercise and learn to exercise our faith. Lord, would You just even work in us? And Lord, help us even to learn to rejoice and acknowledge and to see what You're doing in our lives when obstacles come. Oh, Lord, we just thank You, Lord, that You don't let us go our own way. Lord, that You don't let us just have an easy life of doing what we want, but that You have called us to something higher. Lord, You're calling us to the promised land. Give us eyes to see, Lord, what we need to do and what we need to overcome. Lord, that we would be filled people of faith to enter into the land, we ask, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.